I do thank our brother for his word of welcome to me tonight. It's a joy and a privilege to be with you and to give a word of testimony. My testimony is to the honour and the glory of what the Lord has done in my life. I'll not be telling you about the sins that I got up to, because they're washed under the blood and they're for under the sea of the Lord's forgetfulness. But I will tell you what the Lord has done for me in my life tonight. If you were to tell me many, many years ago that I would be giving my testimony, that I would be singing and preaching an elder in the Free Presbyterian Church, I would have told you to scratch your head. It wouldn't happen. I was brought up in the city of Belfast in a place called Donegal Pass, very close to Sandy Row and Donegal Avenue. The Reverend Fred Greenfield, all his jokes with me. I was up preaching in his church this morning, and when he was booking me, he said, "You know, you're a cousin of mine. I was brought up in the Donegal Road, and you were brought up in the Donegal Pass, so we're cousins." We're not really cousins, but that's the way he describes it. But you know, my favourite verse in all the scripture is found in John chapter 3 and the verse 16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." As I said, I was the only boy of a family of five girls. I was the youngest boy. And my sisters all said that I was spoiled. I was the spoiled one of the family. In those days, my parents weren't saved, but they believed in sending their children to Sunday school and to send their children to the different children's meetings around that area. And I was sent out to Sunday school. I had a very faithful servant, a man called Mr. Stewart. And in those days, in your Sunday school class, you went up right up until you were the age of 15 or whenever you were leaving. You know, I used to hate school. I didn't like school. The only thing I liked in school was sports day. And then when I was leaving school at 15, my headmaster said to me, "Tommy, if you had had more interest in schoolwork than you had in sport, you would have been a genius." But you know, I loved sport. And that was my whole life. My whole life's ambition was to be a professional footballer. I remember going to Mr. Stewart one Sunday. I just turned 15. And I said, "Mr. Stewart, I'll not be back to Sunday school." And he said to me, "Tommy, if the Lord was to come back, my Sunday school class, there would be one missing, because every other boy had come to know the Lord through the Lord's servant, but I wasn't saved." And I can see the tears in that old man's eyes as he said to me, "Tommy, if you were to go out without the Saviour tonight, you would be lost." And you know, he said to me, "Tommy, I've just one word to say to you, and it's found in God's word in Genesis, 'My spirit shall not always strive with man.'" I said goodbye to that man and went out. I started to work in J.P. Curry's, the timber factory down in the docks area. And through time, it moved up to the Springfield Road. During the time on the Springfield Road, there was some electrical work being done. And my dad only said to me, "Get a trade behind you." And I approached one of the men, and he asked one of the bosses, and I got a job as an apprentice electrician. We went down to do a big job down in Cordals, down at Carrick, down in that part of Northern Ireland. And at lunchtime, we used to go out and kick football, all the apprentices. And in those days, one of the electricians that was working with us was a fellow called Stanley Gregg, who used to play for Linfield. And he would come out and play with us. And as I was playing, I didn't know that the manager of Carrick Rangers was there. And he, after a couple of days, he approached me and he asked me if I would sign for Carrick Rangers. And this was going to be my life. I had got what I wanted to be. I signed for Carrick Rangers. Then I signed for Distillery. I think they're called Lisburn Distillery nowadays. And then I signed for Ards football team. And this was all my life. This is what I lived for. I lived for football. Forgot all about what I was taught in Sunday school. Forgot about everything. But you know, there were a couple of... I then joined a flute band down in the Donegal Pass area. It was called the Donegal Pass Defenders Flute Band. And I played the side drum. I got to know some of the fellas, and one of the men who was a friend of mine, he had a cousin. And his cousin was a believer. She went to a little mission hall in Sandy Road called the Emmanuel Mission Hall. And she invited me a couple of times to go to these meetings. My wife's not with me tonight, so I can say that I fancied her, really. My wife's given her testimony in Bangor, our Bangor church, or she would have been with me. But you know, I fancied this girl, and I went just there, and then she invited me to go to the Coleman's Mission, and there I heard the gospel being preached by Willie Mullen, by Dr. Paisley, by Sam Workman, and all these men of God. But you know, it was just like water off a duck's back. And again, I asked this girl if I could go out with her. But you know, she was a faithful Christian, and she said to me, "Tommy," she says, "I'm a Christian." And she says, "Will you go? I can't go." And you know, that was a shock to me. But you know, I went on playing the football and going out. There's one thing that I didn't do. I couldn't get the taste for drink. That doesn't mean to say I didn't go into the pubs with the men after we played football. I would go in and take a soft drink or something like that, and I would get up to all the sin that they would get up to. But you know, I didn't get that taste for drink. I had no thought of salvation. I had no thought of anything at all. My life was football, playing in the barn, going out and enjoying myself. But one Sunday, I was walking up Royal Avenue, and there was an open air right at the front of that city hall, a Sunday night. And the men were coming up, and they were giving out gospel verses, John 3:16, and calling out different ones. And what do you think hit me between the eyes? "My spirit shall not always strive with man." And you know, all the thoughts came back into my mind about how Mr. Stewart told me that I needed to be saved, that I needed to come to the Saviour. And I remember the times I used to say to him, "Mr. Stewart, I'm as good as anybody. I don't need salvation. Do you think the Lord Jesus won't let me get into heaven? Sure, I come to church, I go to Sunday school, I go to everything." But you know, Mr. Stewart used to say to me, "Tommy, in the sight of God, all your righteousness are like filthy rags." And you know, in those days I did have hair, and my hair used to stand up, and I used to walk out of that Sunday school. But you know, it all started to come back. And I went home, and the next morning I went to meet all the apprentices, and we all used to sit in the back of the bus. And as we were travelling down to Carrick, the apprentices said, "Tommy, what is wrong with you? You're not your normal jokey self. What's wrong with you?" Then when we went at 10 to 10 for our tea break, all the apprentices would go to one side and we would talk about the sin we got up to. And they said to me, "There's something wrong with you. What is wrong with you?" Men and women, I didn't know, but it was the Spirit of God dealing with me. I couldn't get that verse out of my mind. "My spirit shall not always strive with man." I remember the following Sunday, walking round Great Victoria Street. I walked into a church, upstairs in the church, sitting upstairs, and that verse just kept working and working on me. And you know, I didn't even hear the preacher. Matter of fact, I didn't even know the service was over. The man came to tell me that they were locking the church. And as I walked out through that church door, I said, "Lord Jesus, Mr. Stewart said, if I call in your name, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And just outside that church, I said, Lord, save me. Wash me in your blood. And you know, the burden was lifted. That night, I was to meet a friend of mine who was coming. He was from the army. And the only place that you could get a drink in Belfast on a Sunday in those days was a place called the Busman's Club, right facing the BBC. And I said, I don't know how I'm going to face this fella. So I walked up to Bobby. Bobby was in the band with me before he joined the army. And you know, he said to me, Tommy, there's something different about you. He says, there's a smile or something on your face. And I says, Bobby, I've just got saved. And he says to me, so this is what he said. Suppose you'll not be coming in here with me. And I says, no, Bobby, I'm not. I'm going home. And you know, I remember going home. And I remember walking in through the door. And I remember doing something that I never remember. I said, I had sisters in the house. And I never had to lift a dishcloth in my life. But I walked in and lifted the dishcloth and started to dry the cups and saucers. And my mommy looked at me and she says, what's wrong with you? And I says, Mommy, I've got saved. And I remember her turning around to me and she says, that's good, son. And she says, I'm going to tell you something. Your daddy's mother was a Christian. And when she found out I was pregnant, she prayed that you'd get saved. And there you are. My grandmother's prayers were answered on that particular night. And you know, I remember going back to the young men, and I remember telling them in the work that I got saved. And you know, they mocked me and they laughed at me. And you know, they used to put a thing above where I sat, and there was different sizes of cable for wiring lights. It used to be 3029. And they would put above my seat, we're going to sing hymn 3029. And they were joking all this. But you know, after a while, they thought that I wouldn't keep it. But the Lord kept me. And after a while, they started to respect me for it. And you know what happened? I started to go back to the football. And you know, I started to lose interest in the football. Because the Bible tells me, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. You know, training was on a Tuesday and a Thursday night. And the meetings that I wanted to attend were on a Tuesday and a Thursday night. And I had to give something up. And you know, as I went out onto that football field and heard the swearing and heard the cursing and heard all the sort of things, I said, this is not for me. And I remember going in and saying, I'll not be back. I'll not be back. And you know, it was the best thing that ever happened. You know, I got married and I was made redundant. And at that time, I was looking for somewhere to go to, some church to go to. And I heard about the little church down the Ravenhill Road. And I started to attend that church. And when I heard them people praying, and when I heard the preaching, I said, this is the church for me. But you know, as I said, after I got married, we lost my job. And one of the men who attended our church was in the police, a man called Chucky White. And he approached me and he says, Tommy, you should get into the police. I applied for the police and was stationed in Tennant Street on the Shankill Road. And I can remember working up there. It was around the time of the cutthroat butcher murders. And one night we were out on patrol, three of us. And the lady reported seeing something being carried into a derelict house behind the courthouse on the Crumlin Road. And as we walked in, my two colleagues, one was carrying a submachine gun. The first one walked on a pressure plate and up it went. I was blew out through the door. And the thing that saved my life was my flak jacket that I had on. My colleague that was carrying the submachine gun, it was bent like that. And the other fella, his trousers, you thought someone took a razor blade to him. But you know, the blessing about that young fella who was carrying the submachine gun, many nights I would speak to him. He was an atheist. And he would stand and at night duty, we would see stars going across the sky, and he would say to me, "There's your God away on the trip, bumping the Lord." But you know, after that explosion, that young man came to know the Lord as his Savior. And he contacted me to say he had come to know the Lord as his Savior. You know, friends, tonight the Lord Jesus Christ is a wonderful Savior. I've let him down so many ways. I've let him down so many times. But you know, the Lord has never let me down. You know, the great thing about it, I was the first one to get saved in my family. And I had the joy then to see my sisters coming to the Lord. I had the joy to lead my father to the Lord in the city hospital. And I had the joy to see my mother come to the Lord. The youngest sister next to me, she would say at all the funerals and all the weddings, "I'm the black sheep of the family." And she couldn't wait to get out to the pub with all my cousins. But you know, I'll never forget it. My mother's funeral, Dr. Paisley preached on my mother's favourite text in my father's house, or many mansions. And after the funeral was over, we all came back to the house and we were sitting about to have the tea. And my sister stood to her feet. And I said, "Lord, please don't let her start this nonsense about the black sheep of the family." But you know, you could have knocked me down with a feather. She got up to her feet and she said, Today, as God's servant was preaching, I trusted the Lord as my Savior." And those big men, they just looked at her. And they all made off their way to the pub. But you know, she came to trust the Savior. Oh friend, tonight in this meeting, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you never know what can happen in your family. You know, he's a wonderful Savior. I can never praise him. I've let him down so many times. But you know, he's never let me down. That was way back in 1966. Just as a young man. And I said, "Lord Jesus, come into my life. Wash me. Cleanse me in your precious blood." And he done it. And you know, he can do it for you. Above my head is a text. "Prepare to meet thy God." And you know, as I look at this land of ours, and as I look the way things are going in our land, I would add that word from Amos, "Prepare to meet thy God." And you know, there was three things I had to do in preparing to meet God. I had to come and prepare to meet him personally. And you know, my friend, in this meeting tonight without Christ, you need to come and prepare to meet the Lord Jesus Christ personally. I needed to come to meet him personally. You say to me, "Tommy, how can I meet God personally?" The scriptures tells you in John 14:6, "I am the way," the Lord Jesus says, "the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." I thought that I could get to heaven by my good works. I thought I could get to heaven in my own way. But the Lord had to show me that I needed to come to the Savior. That I needed to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as my own and personal Savior. Oh friend, tonight you need to come personally to the Savior. You know, if you don't come to know him personally as your Savior, someday you'll meet him personally as your judge. And you know, it will be a personal sentence. And sadly, it could be a personal hell forever. You know, there's a young man one day was riding his bicycle going to work. And as he was riding his bicycle along a tram line, the bicycle got caught in the tram line. And the tram was coming. And this gentleman saw what was happening and he leapt forward and grabbed the young man and pulled him back. Of course, the tram went over the bicycle and the bicycle was wrecked. That young man, in a couple of days' time, had to go to court because he had done something wrong and he had to go into the court. As he got into the court and he looked up and saw who the judge was, he got an awful shock. And the judge looked down at the young man and he said, "Young man, yesterday I was your Savior. I saved your life yesterday, but today I'm your judge. And you know, men and women in this meeting without Christ, tonight the Lord Jesus Christ can be your Savior. But you know, someday if you reject him, he'll be your judge. I had to realize that if I didn't come personally to the Savior, that I'd have been lost. You know, there was a man called Naaman, a leper. And he had this awful disease of leprosy. And leprosy in the scriptures speaks of sin. And he was told to go and dip in the River Jordan 7 times. And if he'd done that, the leprosy would be healed. But you know, he had to go into that River Jordan personally. He had many servants, and I'm sure many of the servants would have went in for him. But you know, if he hadn't went in personally, his skin wouldn't have been clean. And after, the Bible tells us, after the 7th time, his body came up just like a little child's. Oh friend, you need to come to the Savior like me. You need to come personally. But you know, I needed to come not only personally, but I needed to come properly. I needed to come properly. Because as I told you, I thought I was all right. I thought that I could work my way to heaven. I thought that going to church and going to Sunday school and doing all these different things. Yes, they are good. It's good to go to church. And it's good to go to Sunday school. But if you're depending them on your salvation, the Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other. For there's no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. The Bible says, for by grace are ye saved, through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Oh friend, I was boasting of my own righteousness, my own salvation, but I needed to come properly to the Savior. And thank God, away back in 1966, outside that church, I just said, Lord Jesus, wash me. Cleanse me in your blood. And he done it. But you know, you need to come personally. You need to come properly. But you need to come promptly. I needed to come promptly. I remember saying to Mr. Stewart, Mr. Stewart, look, when I become 65 or when I'm retired, I'll think about salvation. Yes, I'll think about this sort of thing. But you know, God's servant used to say to me, Tommy, you need to come now. It's now you need to come. And he used to say, now is the day. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And I remember him turning to me to the scriptures, to Proverbs, and he said, boast not of thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Oh friend, tonight, you need to come personally to the Savior. You need to come properly to the Savior. But you need to come promptly. I thank God for his goodness to me. I thank the Lord that my own family, my own children that he has given me, have come to know the Lord as their Savior. And I'm praying that my own little grandchildren, they too, may come to know the Lord as their Savior. Just in closing for my testimony, I lifted a book the other day and it told a story about this lady. And the lady lived on the Balmoral estate. She was a widowed lady, and her and her friends used to meet in their little houses. And you know, she fell out with her next door neighbour. And she went into her house in an awful rage. And she said, I'll have nothing to do with that woman again. I want nothing to do with her. And she went in and she sat down in her house. And as she sat by the fireside, her rage got even more. And she heard footsteps coming down to her little door. And she heard a gentle knock on the door. And she said, I'm not answering the door to that woman. I want nothing to do with her. She has blackened my name. I want nothing to do with her. She heard a louder knock on the door. And again she said, I'll have nothing to do. Matter of fact, I'm going to bed. And she went to bed. The next morning, she got up. And like everything else, her temper had died down. And she said, well, I'm just as much to blame as my friend. I'm going into my friend to make up. She went into her friend and they hugged one another. And she said, dear, I'm sorry for what I've done. And I'm sorry that I had this fight with you. And I'm sorry I didn't answer the door to you last night. She said, I wasn't at your door last night. She says, but I'll tell you who was at your door last night. Queen Victoria would go round all the widows and would call to the houses. And she said, it was Queen Victoria was at your door last night. And she knocked gently at your door. And then she knocked loudly at your door. And then she walked away. And the lady said in her little booklet that all the time she lived in Balmoral, Queen Victoria never came back to her door again. And then she said in her book, she says, maybe you person reading my book, someone better than Queen Victoria, the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus Christ, has been knocking at your door gently. And then he's been knocking at your door more heavily. And you've heard, you've said, I'm not answering the door to him. I'm not letting him into my heart. I want nothing to do with him. I don't want salvation. And she said, reader, could it be tonight that you hear the footsteps of the Saviour walking away? Remember what my Sunday school teacher said to me, men and women, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Maybe friend in the meeting here tonight, as God's servant has been preaching here week after week, and is pleading with you to come and trust the Lord as your Saviour. Maybe you have said in your heart, I'm not going to open my heart. Oh friend, I would say to you tonight, swing the heart's door widely open and bid him enter while he may. I praise God, away back in September 1966, I said, after refusing the Saviour so many times, I said, Lord Jesus, come in. And he's come in. And he's come in to stay. Oh, friend, I would plead with you tonight, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour, come to know him personally. Come to know him properly. And come to know him promptly. Amen.